So we're in a new series for the month of February called Jesus Everywhere, because we want Jesus everywhere. We want the Lord working and moving in all areas of our lives and all facets of our lives. And honestly, our heart is to help people. I appreciate so many kind comments after the preaching last Sunday, and just trying to follow after the Lord and be directed of the Lord. And you have to know that just comes out of my heart. It just, I'm excited about what God is doing, and I am not ready to stop. I'm not ready to hold back. I'm not ready to push the pause button. I want to keep pressing into 2021 so that we can make a difference in someone's life. And today, we want to help our homes. I want Jesus to be in our homes. I want the Lord to work where we live. You that are online today, those that are in the room, I want you to take this home with you. I want you to allow it to move in your home today, because here's the deal. If we are successful getting Jesus everywhere except to our own houses, if we feed people but we are not fed ourselves, if we make a difference in someone else's life but the difference is not made in our own lives, if we lead many people to Jesus but we lose our own kids. Even Jesus asked that question, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but he loses his own? I know he's talking to us about our soul, but what does it profit me if I gain the whole world but I lose my own? My kids are an extension of my soul. If I lose my own and what God has entrusted to me. And obviously our kids reach an age where they make their own choices. Our kids reach an age that we cannot tell them or make them or strongly suggest that they go to church with us. I understand that there are those realities, and some of you are feeling that pain. Some of you are struggling with just that because yours reached that age, and maybe they're making choices that do not make you happy or give you the confidence in their spiritual success that you would like to feel. But while we know they're going to make their own choices, we want to give them every spiritual chance possible. I want to give my kids, I want to give your kids their best spiritual chance. I want to equip them and train them and teach them and example a life in front of them that sets them up for spiritual success. But so much of that has to do with what we're investing right now. You that have very, very young children, you start to think, well, I've got time, we'll figure that out. They don't understand all of that right now, but you better establish good habits now, because it's amazing how fast the days turn into years. It's amazing how quickly time flies. It's amazing how fast all of this happens. It's literally in the blink of an eye. So what are we investing into our kids now, depending on their age and often further into life? Their spiritual health is reflective of our own. Our kids' spiritual health is reflective of our own spiritual health. So, to that end, I want to welcome Jesus into our homes. I want to welcome the presence of God into our homes. You say, but Pastor Darrell, we heard you last week. Jesus is already everywhere. Yeah, but I told you that that's only powerful when you know that to be the truth. Jesus is omnipresent. He's everywhere, but that's only powerful when I understand that truth and I live that and I walk in that. So yes, Jesus is in our homes, but let me ask you today, is he Lord of our homes? Does he fill time and space? Sure, but is he Lord of our homes? Let me ask you today, what's the thermostat set on in your house right now? Any heat people, you like the heat on in your house? AC people, it was about 35 degrees here recently, and Jude turned the AC on. He was having to crank it way down because he was hot, and I was like, no, you can't do that. That's not how this works. What is the thermostat set on in your house? There may be marriage trouble in the room today because she's cold and you're hot, or vice versa. This may be a volatile Valentine Day because you can't agree on the thermostat. I get it. I understand. What is the spiritual thermostat set to in your home? Is it set to hot or is it set to cold? You know, we've heard of this idea, and it is debated even recently in some of the political wranglings of our modern times, this idea of separation of church and state. And I get all of that. I'm not here to debate that, but hear me. There should be no separation of church and home. Your house should be an extension of this house. Your house at home should be an extension to this house. There should be some seamless, well-worn pathways from one house to another house because we want Jesus in our homes. Now hear me, that doesn't mean you have to have purple carpet in your house. That doesn't mean you have to have chairs like this around your dining table. It doesn't mean you have to decorate your home like we do the church Covington. No, of course there are differences, but the real question is Jesus welcome at home? Is Jesus welcome in our homes? And you're like, duh, Pastor Darrell, of course he's welcome in our home. But I want to dig down into that a little bit because Jesus tried to let us know that this was a challenge. He did not feel welcome at home. So let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 13 is where we're going to spend the next little while in today's teaching. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 53, if you have your Bible today, open it up with me, or your smart device, or even follow along on the screen today. It's on your screen today if you're with us online. But the Bible said that Jesus had finished these parables, and he moved on from there. When he finished this teaching, he moved on from that place, and that is significant because his followers are learning that there's more to Jesus than the miracles. That's an important day in your life when you realize Jesus is about more than just the blessing. He's about more than just the good feeling. He's about more than just the doodads or the goosebumps. He's about more. He's about teaching us. He's about making disciples. He's about establishing us. And there were many of his followers. You know, you remember one time he fed them from the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and they were all blessed. And the Bible said they had as much as they would. And then they came back the next day and wanted to know why he did not have more bread and more fish. We didn't bother going to the grocery store, Lord. We just figured we'd follow you. We didn't bother preparing anything or thawing anything out. We just knew we'd follow you, and you would just keep sustaining us in the natural. And Jesus said, you missed the point. I am the bread of life. I did that miracle to attract you and to get your attention and to get you looking my way. But now I want to teach you some word. I want to teach you how to fish. I want to teach you how to make bread. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's trying to mature us. He's trying to grow us. He's trying to prepare us so that we can be spiritually healthy in our lives. So he's moving on and teaching these parables and spends an entire day teaching them because he wants to grow them. He wants to become them. He wants to mature them. He wants to see them strengthened spiritually. But verse 54 says, coming to his hometown, Jesus came home to Nazareth. It always feels good to come home. I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm from Texas. Probably never going to let you forget that. I'm from Texas. I like going home. The Mexican food is better in Texas. So I like to go home occasionally. Texas loaned me to Georgia on a permanent basis, but I'm trying to bring all of my favorite things to Georgia. Have you seen these Buc-ee's popping up all over Georgia? The greatest gas station that's ever been invented. I'm praying that God will send one to Covington right here along one of these exits. You just keep messing with me. You'll see whether or not the Lord and I have a thing going. But I like going home, and Jesus comes home and he starts doing what he's been doing everywhere else. He comes home and the Bible said that he began teaching the people in their synagogue and they were amazed. Jesus begins teaching some of the same things that he's been teaching in other cities and in other places and in other synagogues. He begins opening the word and sharing with them, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. We've never heard anything like this. This is amazing. This is incredible. Where did he get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? This is incredible. I mean, duh. Of course Jesus is amazing. This isn't supposed to put you to sleep. This isn't supposed to bore you. But they said, we've never heard anything like this. This wisdom, this miracle power. Wow, this is incredible. It would seem that Jesus is getting the same response that he gets everywhere he goes. Except, verse 55 says, what I heard him saying was awesome. I mean, wisdom was incredible. It was on another level, but isn't this, I'm just asking, you know, isn't this the carpenter's son? I mean, the miracle power, I've never seen anything like it, but isn't his mother's name Mary, and aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all his sisters with us? I mean, the wisdom, it's astounding. The words of life are incredible, but if I'm not mistaken, isn't he Joseph's son? Because Joseph ran me off the road the other day. Isn't Mary his mama? Child, I saw Mary go off at the grocery store last week. I mean, this is wisdom and miracle power, and it's awesome, but them brothers, James and Joe Jr. and Simon and Judas, well, you didn't hear it from me, but, and I mean, I'm not even going to talk about them sisters, but have you seen the way they're dressing around town? That's the way this reads. Don't miss this. Don't miss the sarcasm. Don't miss the shade. Don't miss the drip of just drama. I mean, wisdom is awesome and miracle power is awesome. But I mean, who is this guy? I mean, he's surrounded by these people of questionable character. He's surrounded by people that I've got beef with. He's surrounded by people that I'm not sure I like. So where then? Verse 55 continues, did this man get all these things? If Joseph is his father and Mary is his mother and James and Simon and Judas and Joseph Jr. and them sisters, if that's his family, where did he get these things? And verse 57 says, and they took offense at him. Why? Number one, because he came home. Number two, because it is our human nature to want to reduce Jesus down to the worst among us. It's just what we do. We don't like the level we're being called to. I was supposed to behave this Sunday, wasn't I? I'm back in my zone. We don't like the conviction that we're feeling. We don't like the boundaries that the Word is establishing in our lives. And so we start saying, well, look at them over there. Look at their attitude. And they sing on the stage. Well, look at them over there. They got a position. And I know some stuff about them. It's what happens when you go home. I went home one time to preach a revival. I was raised in humility. They didn't mind. My pastor said, "No, go sit down. You don't have a gift, a call, nothing. Just go sit down, clean a toilet." Did all of that. I came up the hard way. But after years and years of being out traveling and holding revivals and seeing people get saved by the hundreds and hundreds of people, having some pretty significant things happen in ministry, I went home and spent a few nights preaching, and every night people like, "Man, I just can't even believe it. This is even hard to believe. I can't even believe you made anything out of yourself." That's what people will say to you at home. That's how people will talk to you at home. Doesn't matter that their daughter just got saved or their neighbor just got delivered. We can't even believe. Man, it's just amazing. This is just crazy what you've made of yourself. It's weird going home sometimes. We want to reduce Jesus down because the truth is we can't afford to live one way at church and another way at home. Talking about the spiritual temperature in your house. I'm going to behave, but if your kids see you smile sweet and speak all kind to the pastor at church, but hear you say something else at home, I didn't think that'd go over too well. I remember when Elle was just little, and one of our pastors, Pastor Jim Kilgore, he's actually one of our overseers here at the church, Covington, but just a wonderful pastor in our lives, and Elle absolutely loved him, and he loved her, and they just had this cute, fun relationship, and he would always play, you know, with her at church or spend some time with her, and he was just Jim, and it didn't matter how many times we corrected her. L, that's Pastor Jim. You call him Pastor Jim, and she would look at us and say, no, that's Jim. It was just, it didn't matter what we tried to teach, respect and instill respect. It didn't help that Pastor Jim said, you leave her alone and let her call me whatever she wants to call me. But we were trying to teach respect because that's the way it has to be in our home. We want that to be a bedrock in our house. We want that to be meaningful in our house. I want my kids to have people that they look up to, people that they admire, people that they appreciate. And I'm not trying to make my own way in your own home or in your own kids' lives, but hear me. If this is your church and if I am your pastor, then please let me be that in your home as well and not just in this building. And I'm not asking for me personally. I'm asking for the office, an office that's been reduced down to just, you know, just nothing. It's just nothing. It used to be respected in the community, and now it's just nothing. But if you're going to want someone to help guide and shape your family spiritually, then please don't make the job even harder by being negative in your home. I'm preaching good all by myself. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own town and in his own home. The only place a prophet gets no honor is at home. He's explaining why this is happening. This is why these people are both amazed and offended at the same time. It's why they are astounded by the miracle power, but also complaining. It's why they are wow and angry at the same time. But hear me, 2021 is our year to get Jesus everywhere. I want our church to be full of power. I want our church to have miracles and spirit filled atmosphere and healing and deliverance and grace and goodness. But you know what? I want peace in my home as well. I want joy and happiness and grace in my house too. I love church, but I also love home. So what if we could take what we feel in this room on Sundays into our homes every other day of the week? What if we could pray? What if we could worship in our homes? Wouldn't that be a good plan? Wouldn't that be a good idea? Doesn't that seem like a smart thing to do? Because here's the truth. It all comes down to verse 58. The Bible said that he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Jesus has been doing miracles everywhere. He's been seeing people's lives turned around everywhere and incredible and awesome things happening everywhere. But when he came home, he could not do the same miracles. They missed out on many of the miracles because they would not welcome him home. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss our moment. I don't want to miss our day. I don't want to miss our chance. I don't want our kids to miss the miracles that could shape their lives, that could fashion their lives, that could help inform their adolescence into adulthood. I don't want to miss what Jesus wants to do because it has to happen in the home. Listen, the church does not have all of the spiritual responsibility. The church does not have all of the spiritual responsibility. Moms and dads, parents, whether single parents or blended families or whatever your case may be, the home has an incredible amount of that spiritual responsibility as well. So how do we get home? What is the way home? I'm going to give you just three or four things that I think will help us welcome Jesus back into our homes. Number one is a passion for prayer. A passion for prayer. Matthew 21 and 13, it is written, Jesus said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer. But he said, you are making it a den of robbers. I know he's talking about the temple. They were buying and selling and all that was going on. They were tricking people out of the sacrifice that they were bringing. And it was a whole scam and scheme that was going on. But Jesus said, hey, it's really not any different from my house to your house. If my house is going to be called a house of prayer, why wouldn't your house be called a house of prayer also? That tells me I can pray at home. It doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be uncomfortable. We don't have to make it awkward, but we absolutely can have prayer in our homes because James 5 and 16 is powerful. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It has a lot of authority. It has a lot of sway. It carries a lot of weight when righteous men and women pray. When they pray fervently, it gets the job done. That means we have to pray at home. We have to pray while we're sweeping floors, Taylor. While we're mopping. Randy was just grinning ear to ear while you were talking about sweeping the floors. I don't know how long it's been. Kristen was not taking notes about how to. Anyway, I'm going to leave all that alone. It's Valentine's. Doesn't have to be weird, but we can pray in our homes. What would happen if we would make prayer our first response, not our last resort? What is it right now in your house? What is it in your life? What is it in your family? Is prayer something you do on the regular? Is it the norm? Do we pray about things? Do we take things to the Lord? Or do we wait until there is a breakdown or there is a falling apart? Or until there is a melting? Do we wait until there is a complete collapse before we say, well, maybe we ought to bow our heads over this? No, don't do that. Don't wait. Don't wait until there is an emergency calling 911. Make prayer a priority in your home. And I promise you, if you will pray in your home, you'll pray in your home, Jesus will feel welcome there. And he'll make sure that he sticks around just in case you want to talk to him more. That's the beauty of prayer. Number two, there should be a passion for praise and worship. In our homes, a passion for praise and worship. Are we worshiping in our homes? Mark 12 and 30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. It goes on to say, except at home. No. Some of you believe that. No, it doesn't say that. No, in fact, it goes on to say, love your neighbor as yourself. So while you're doing this, while you're loving God with your heart and soul and mind and all of your strength, look out the kitchen window and see your neighbor out there working in their flower bed and say, you know what? Not only am I going to do this for me, but I'm going to love them as well. I'm going to bless them as well. I'm going to make a difference in their life because I want my passion for praise and worship in my home to help someone else. Psalm 103:1. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, oh my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Goes on to say, only at church. No. What about 2 Samuel 6? Verses 20 through 22, when David returned home. Everyone say home. When David returned home to bless his household. In other words, I got something at church, and I'm trying to bring it home, to transfer it to my family. I'm trying to bring it home to make sure that my kids get it too. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, oh, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today. You say, Pastor, you read that with attitude. Read the story. It's not a good story. She's upset because David was dancing. She was embarrassed by his worship. She was ashamed of the exuberance, the zeal, the passion that he had for the things of God. Incidentally, Michal is the daughter of Saul. Saul is the one who was trying to kill David. Saul is the one that was constantly conflicted with God. Called, appointed, blessed, but always at odds with God. And it is amazing that his offspring carried on the tradition. That wasn't in my notes. That's just for free. I'm behaving. Because our kids will have the same attitude that we have toward God. Folks, are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me? She said, David, you embarrassed yourself today, the king of Israel. Oh, how he's distinguished himself, sarcastic. You made a fool out of yourself. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord. And you know why? I worshiped him because he chose me. Doesn't have anything to do with you, sweetheart. Doesn't have anything to do with you. This isn't about you. I'm trying to get something that I need from God and then bring this back to my house. I did this before the Lord who chose me. And guess what? I will celebrate before the Lord. And verse 22, I will become even more undignified than this. You're not going to shame me into a corner. You're not going to tell me that I can't worship because it's undignified or it's an embarrassment to the family name. He said, get ready. I'm about to full on get in the front yard and just twirl until I can't stop. Twirl till I get dizzy because that's how good God has been to me. Because I'm not just going to worship at church where it is expected. I'm going to worship at home where it's unexpected. I'm going to worship at home where my kids are liable to look at me and say, what's going on? Is there passion? What would happen if we would give God what he deserves and not what we feel? How much more would we worship if we would worship based on God being deserving rather than how we feel in the moment, it would be much more. Number three, almost done. The way home, getting Jesus back into our homes. Yes, it is a passion for prayer. It's a passion for praise and worship, but I believe it is also a passion for purity. A passion for purity. Psalm 101, 2 and 3 says, I will be careful and live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I want to live a blameless life, but this is not easy because I'm in the flesh, and the flesh has all kinds of errant passions and all kinds of feelings and jealousies and lust and envy and all kinds of things that it's interested in. So I need you to come and help me because I want to live a blameless life. He says, I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. Again, my kids aren't going to see one attitude at church and a different attitude at home. And I feel like I need to qualify that because I'm not saying that you can't let your hair down at home. I'm not saying that I don't wear these boots around the house. I put on them house shoes that I told you about a couple of weeks ago. So home can be casual and home can be fun. But when my kids get in trouble, when my wife is having a bad day, I don't want to say, well, man, I wish it was closer to Sunday, because if it was closer to Sunday, we could take this problem to church. I don't want to say, kids, could you just hold on to that crisis because it's Thursday? If you can just hold on for a couple of more days, we'll be back in the presence of God and everything will be right again. No. I want to say, hey, we can pray about that right now. We can take that to God right now, right here in our living room. We can call out to God right now. He said, I'm going to live a life of integrity in my own home. Verse 3, I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. King James says, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. Because the truth is that if we follow the trends of the world, we're going to end up with worldly homes. But if we decide the morals and the values and the cultures of our respective homes, we're going to have godly homes. What's the spiritual temperature in our house? To get it done, we have to be a voice and not an echo. Sorry. What does that mean, be a voice and not an echo? An echo just parrots what is being said. It's just a repeating. I don't want the sound in my home to just be a repeating, a regurgitation, an echo of what is said on the TV 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't want it to be an echo of what every celebrity is saying on the social media. I want to be a voice. Kids, family, I can't keep you from hearing those things or knowing those things exist in the world. I can't create such a bubble for you to live in that you're not going to be aware. I pastoring back home, there was another church that was in our community. It was there before we came. I didn't even know it existed, but somewhere along the way, I met the pastor, and he was a very nice man, and his wife was a very nice lady, very sincere, but they had several small children. And one day, talking to him, I said, you know, I'd love to grab a lunch with you sometime. And he said, well, we can do that. We would happily invite you into our home. And I said, no, I wouldn't want to go to any trouble and, you know, all of that. We can just meet at a restaurant. He said, no, we don't go to restaurants. And I was taken aback by that, but, you know, I don't know, dietary restrictions or peanut allergies or all kinds of stuff can happen. And we continued talking, and I referenced something, where something was. It was available at the mall. And he said, I will go into the mall just to get what we need and right back out, or my wife may go in just to get, but my kids have never been inside the mall. And I mean, these are not little babies. These are teenage kids. And I'm not judging. I'm not making fun. I'm at all. I have to respect. But I thought, man, you've created such a bubble. At some point, they're going to climb up high enough over the back fence and realize there is a world out there. And I'm not going to lie to you. There are some things in the world that are attractive. There are things in the world that grab our attention. I don't know if you know this or not, but sex sells in 2021. So everybody's undressed. I sound so old-fashioned, don't I, right now? Lord have mercy, I've become one of them old preachers, preaching against everything. I'm behaving. I stayed real calm today, just... But at some point, we're going to have to be in the world, just not of the world. We're going to have to be aware, but disciplined. Aware, but boundaries. That's the way to get Jesus into our homes. That's the way to get him working and moving. We have to have a passion for purity. Does that mean we're always going to hit the mark? No, we're going to fail. We're going to drop the ball. We're going to stumble. We're going to see something we shouldn't see. We're going to make a mistake. You may be in that life right now. Like, I don't even know how to get out of this. I'm addicted to the junk I'm seeing on my computer. I don't even know how to break out of this. Listen, come have a conversation with me. Reach out to somebody. We can help you get free of that in your life. I do not want to preach a mark that you feel like you'll never attain. You can take baby steps, and there is healing, and there is help, and there is deliverance, and there is no judgment, and there is no condemnation, and nobody's going to wag their finger in your face. Get in a small group. Come to Freedom Small Group. Let us help you get what you need from God. Because you need Jesus in your life, and I need Jesus in my life. Number four, and I close. Number four is a passion for people. A passion for people. Acts 24 says, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. What if I had a passion that anyone who visits my home, whether it's family, neighbors, friends, anyone that comes in my home feels the presence of God? They may not even know that's what they're feeling. They may not even recognize that's what's happening. Are you going to tell them, Pastor Darrell, eventually? Sure. But usually you don't cast the lure into the water and start jerking immediately. You wait until the hook gets set. That fish may nibble and bump and sounding country boy today too. Doing pretty good. Describing it pretty well. You wait until they make a decision to bite that hook. Maybe you feel today like you need to clean up because company is coming. Listen, we've run more people in and out of our houses through the years that my kids are very quick to ask, who's coming? Who's coming? Today at some point before we leave to go to lunch, who's coming? Who's going with us? I just need to know what's happening. Sometimes there's that last minute company, you get the call or something happens. Kids, run! Throw stuff in the closets. Hide stuff under beds. Last minute company is coming. Am I the only one? Anybody got anything under your bed? Anybody lying? There's room at the cross for you. Don't play that. Company's coming, but here's the deal. Jesus is not wanting to be company. Jesus is wanting to be family. And he's wanting to come and stay. Lord, we kind of like the idea of you coming when we need you and then leaving when we don't. See, the people that want that kind of setup are people that are wanting to live double lives. And it doesn't work. I dare somebody to go home today, as chilly as it is, doesn't take long, but symbolic. Go home, unlock the front door, and swing it open wide. And say, you know what? I'm inviting every spirit, every idea, every passion, every bit of ugly, everything that is not like God, I'm asking you to leave. Have you ever had to throw anybody out of your house? All of y'all, man. You can go. And stand on the threshold of that front door. You got to do it quick. It's a chilly day. Jesus, welcome home. Come on in. Bring your mama and them. Come on. Bring all your goodness. Bring all your grace, your healing. Come into my house. Live. Take up residence. Sit beside me. Eat beside me. Sleep in my room. Jesus, welcome home. Lord, I pray today for the family. Not every family in this room today is the traditional family. I don't even know what defines that anymore. But we've got them all over the spectrum today. We've got moms and dads, kids. We've got moms and teenagers, dads and grown, think they're grown. Grown but still need a lot of my help. Got it all. Got single parents. Parents but complicated. We need you in our homes. Oh, we love coming to church and it feels good and it's awesome and it's my rest every week and I love getting to the house of God, but turns out that 90 minutes on Sunday is not enough. I need this. I need this on Monday and Tuesday, and I need to feel this peace. I need to feel your strength. I need to feel your help in my life. I need you at home. I need you at home. So today I'm going to excuse some things out of my house. And I'm going to welcome you to take up residence. Cause it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour. Kids are out of control. What is the spiritual temperature of your home? Moms, dads, you got the hardest job on the planet. Single mom, single dad, you've got the hardest job on the planet. I don't want you to leave today feeling guilty or, man, I failed or I've allowed this or I opened the door to that. I want you to feel hope today. Hope that there is an answer. Hope that there is an opportunity to turn that thing around. Hope that there is a God. Jesus is everywhere. But today I'm going to make sure he's in my home. Father, I pray for parents today. Pray for moms and dads. Stressed, overwhelmed, overworked, trying to process their own pain, but also oversee a functioning and healthy home. It's all impossible without you. It doesn't work without you. So kids, set an extra place at the table, because Jesus is going to live with us. He's going to help shape our attitudes and our responses. And I pray today for students. I pray for teenagers. I pray for young men and young women. I pray for young folk that think they know more than anybody. I pray, Lord, that you would get a hold of our hearts. It's all right. It's all right to love Jesus. It's all right to love the Lord. Whatever age you are, I promise you, it's all right to be in love with Jesus. In the name of the Lord, I pray. I pray. I feel God in this room. How you want to close today? Maybe you got a Valentine plan. If you want to come around the front for a moment, if families want to come around the front a moment, if at home you want to grab your kids, your spouse, get them close for just a moment to worship together, to pray together. I'm honored to pray for your family, but I'm telling you, God will hear your prayer for your family as well. Come on, team, lead us for just another moment. If you got to go, God bless you. You want to take a step toward, you want to take a step, you can do that as well.